We are interrupting this podcast for a very, very special announcement. Amanda Steinstein's in the house! Yay!
Oh, that's not the news. The news is the article I sent you. Didn't you get the article?
The news is your dad's here.
Oh, that news. Yeah, hi, Dad.
Hey.
Hello,
Myron Steinstein.
My dad, Myron Steinstein.
Hi, Myron.
Thank you so much.
You have such a distinguished, sort of magical, elderly sort of presence.
Ouch!
You can say that again.
Well, the silver hair, you know, it's like, you're a silver-haired wizard and stuff.
So true.
Speaking of silver-haired wizards, did you get the article I sent you?
What article?
I emailed it to you about Dumbledore.
I don't know. I just got buried in all this, like, Harry Potter emails.
Yeah, everybody. Like, Dumbledore's gay. What did you send us?
I sent you Dumbledore's gay.
Oh, you're one of those.
You and 10 million other people send us
well,
emails
it was important.
Over the weekend. You know, it's like, everybody was sleeping last week, but suddenly the internet's come alive because J.K. Rowling publicly has outed one of her fictional characters from the Harry Potter book.
Wait, what do you mean fictional?
He doesn't exist in real life.
It's not a real story.
What are you talking about?
It's just real, you know, fiction, not real.
It was written. What? It was made up in her mind, and it doesn't really exist.
But I've seen him.
You did.
That was a movie, honey. That was just a movie.
That explains why I was eating popcorn at the time.
Well, you also eat popcorn when you're sleeping, so sometimes your dreams and films kind of become the same.
So tell them about the four people out there who don't know yet.
Okay, so J.K. Rowling was reading from her book, The Deathly Hallows, on Friday night, and she took questions from the audience. And a 19-year-old from Colorado asked about the headmaster, Albus Dumbledore, of Hogwarts School. It said, did Dumbledore, who believed in the prevailing power of love, ever fall in love himself? And then the author replied, my truthful answer to you, I always thought of Dumbledore as gay. And then the audience fell silent, and then everybody
was like,
it was probably, yes.
Ay, Dios mio.
And then they erupted into a prolonged applause. So they applaud for
they
a long
applauded?
Time.
They applauded? Oh, I didn't read that part. I always thought they would all be just sitting there with their assholes puckering going, what the hell?
And so J.K. Continued on. She said, Dumbledore fell in love with Grindelwald. And that added to his horror when Grindelwald showed himself to be what he was. To an extent, do we say it, excuse Dumbledore a little bit more, because I can't see your hand action because I'm reading.
I'm asking you to stop because Grindelwald, isn't that a city in Switzerland?
No.
So he was on vacation in Switzerland and he fell in love with the city?
See, that's the thing with these damn wizard names. You can't tell if that's a girl or a boy.
Well, he was
Grindelwald.
They actually talk about him and they were friends and they were going to find like these things together. I'm not going to reveal what they are.
Yeah, because that was
and
like
they
the
had
first
a special
book.
Plan. No, it was the
oh,
last
in the
book.
Oh, it was
in the last book, yes. Yeah. And then they had a special plan and then it didn't work out.
The interesting thing of note is that J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, was at Carnegie Hall, which is a huge, huge theater in New York City. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the entire theater broke out into spontaneous applause really, really was encouraging and phenomenal.
That's pretty nice.
That's lovely.
I would like to believe that.
And historically, it's the first time a fictional character from a popular children's book has been said to be gay.
As opposed to all the ones that we know are gay.
Yes, but we'll talk about that later.
Let's talk about that later.
The Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of handsome, beautiful listeners just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do the show, so please visit feastoffools.net and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Because without you,
we're nothing.
The the podcast that puts a little booble on your cauldron, the Feast of Fools. On today's show, we heard it, we accept it, Dumbledore is gay!
Gay.
Why it's causing news all over around the world, the main character of one of the most popular children's books ever has been outed by its author.
Is author J.K. Rowling rolling in it, or is she for real?
Glitter, what you don't know can kill you.
Fictional characters that will also come out as gay.
Amanda Steinstein is joined by her beautiful father, Myron. Hi, Dad.
Hi, everybody.
And also insults on Twitter. You can now subscribe to our Twitter insult thread, twitter.com/insults. Mm-hmm. All this and more, you're listening to Flash and Click by Ruben Bouchart from his album Golden Boy, available on our website, Feast of Fools. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Amanda Steinstein.
I'm Myron Steinstein.
Stay tuned.
So fine, so let your presence be known with the flash of your lashes, 'cause you get to give every order with the click of your fingers. Oh, you never linger.
Wow, Harry Potter is gay.
Not Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's gay.
No. Dumbledore is gay.
Now, who is Dumbledore? I don't follow all those children's
Dumbledore
books.
Dumbledore is the headmaster of Hogwarts, which is where Harry Potter just finished going to wizard school.
And in the books, does his parents like allow him to go to school there?
Are you seriously new? Oh, my God.
I'm asking a question to sort of give a detail.
His parents are dead.
His parents died, and the parents that he was staying with did not know that he was...
His guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did not know he was being whisked away.
They knew. They wanted to stop it. They didn't think it was right.
They tried to stop it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in a way they were sending the kid to live with these gay wizards.
Well, he didn't know he was gay. It was sending him to a magic school.
So how are the fan sites, how are Harry Potter's fans of the book reacting to the news that Dumbledore, the headmaster?
The master of giving head, yes.
Oh, God!
The fact that he's gay, how are they reacting to that?
Well, some of the sites I've gone to, there was one, The Leaky Cauldron, they had the article posted, and there was over 2,000 comments about it. And I'm just, like, amazed that they got that many. I mean, I'm happy if we get 20.
Yeah, and so they get 2,000. No offense, but you're not Dumbledore.
I'm not Dumbledore, no.
Well, I'm kind of interested. So all these Christian right-wingers, no, none of these
this
educators.
This is the thing with the Christian right-wingers. It's the weekend.
They already hate Harry Potter because he's satanic.
Yes. So there's that. Plus, it's Monday by the time people are listening to this. This just came out like on Friday. They're late to the game on everything. It'll be like a week or two before they mount anything, I think.
Well, it's pretty like brave.
Call for the book burnings and stuff.
Well, right. Obviously, they're gonna, you know, you can't burn a book about flaming witches, but
it would burn itself.
It's already on fire.
And so, one of the websites I was looking at too, they also said that they were gonna remove any kind of derogatory comment if it's not an intelligent comment. They weren't gonna keep it on there.
But I'm interested in seeing what the backlash from American educators, because you know the really significant thing about Harry Potter is that it's encouraged so many young people to read books,
right?
And now a main character in Harry Potter is being outed by its author. Right. So the consequence is going to be what?
I suspect it's going to be kind of like the Will and Grace syndrome, where it's fine and he can be embraced if he's gay as long as we don't actually see him with another guy.
And the thing is, like, nowhere in the book does it say he's gay. She's saying this after the fact.
This is like subtext. Not even subtext. It's just like, you know, character backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no situation ever where he was had any kind of romantic inclination towards anybody ever. So whether or not the person is gay is not even an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's going to be a big issue, and we certainly have a good time following things, you know?
It's like Merv Griffin being gay, you know?
What? Merv Griffin? Wait, what?
Merv Griffin was gay?
You lie.
I'm not. No,
you
now he's dead.
No.
Merv Griffin, talk show host and producer of Wheel of Fortune,
Jeopardy.
Wait, no. Was he?
Yes.
I want to believe this. Dad?
Believe me.
You are making it up. I swear to God, I never heard this.
You can trust me. We talked about this extensively on the show. If you actually listen to your own podcast.
You know I don't have time to do that. Well, I don't even listen to my episodes.
Okay. So anyways.
I listen to the shows I'm not on. But no, so I think it's that kind of thing where it's not, you know, everything's already written down. It's already affected.
It's set
in stone. So what's going to happen?
So what's going to happen, I think one of the consequences is that other fictional characters and their authors are going to be outed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have compiled here. I've compiled a nice list for you guys. And see if
with our help.
With your help here. And fictional characters that will come out as gay.
Wait, you name the story and we'll figure out which character's gay.
Well, let me just read you this lesson.
I had a fun
way. So He-Man and his cat battle, also known by the closeted alter ego Prince Adam and Cringer the cat.
They're coming out as gay? I thought they were gay.
What, as a couple?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't he screw his alter ego?
He screws his alter ego.
It's like Clark Kent getting fucked by Superman.
It is sort of the thing. Peppermint Patty and Marcy.
Lesbians already. Everybody knows that.
That's not news.
Moose from Archie Comics.
He's now a bear.
And Yogi Bear's friend Boo Boo, but not Yogi Bear.
No?
No. Yogi Bear's not gay, but Boo Boo is.
And Boo Boo's going on a diet so he can be an otter.
Yes. Wilona Woods from Good Times. She's now coming out as a transsexual woman.
What? Who?
Wilona Woods. Oh. You go, Wilona. You go, Wilona. Go out of the closet.
And she's a real person. Oh, but she was TV, right?
Yes. It was a television. These are all fictional characters.
I thought it was a documentary on Cabrini-Green.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street?
Of course.
Bull the Bailiff from Night Court? You were saying that.
No!
Yes,
Wooly Bully is ting-a-ling.
Not the real guy, the character.
Still. Not the actors who portray him, the characters.
The characters, oh, yes.
Now, Mark came up with this good one, Thing from the Addams Family.
Yes, he's into fisting.
He's just a hand!
That's why he's into fisting.
That's all you can do.
Or as I like to call it, filled with love.
Zan, the Wonder Twin from Super Friends.
I thought he was out.
But not Jaina?
Not Jaina. Just Zan.
No, it's very common for one twin to be gay and the other not to be. Did you know that?
No, yeah. It seems
it's the second one, usually. Typically, it's the second one born.
Really?
That's what I've heard, yes.
That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Because the pussy gets soured by the first one. Just
what
kidding.
Is that?
Okay, Alice from the Brady Bunch.
She's not a lesbian.
She was dating Sam the Butcher.
All that meat did not satisfy her, and later on, there was a subtext.
Well, didn't you see the movie, though?
Templeton, the rat from Charlotte's Web.
That was Paul Linden. He was gay.
And also Templeton. He was gay. The rat was gay. Willy Wonka from Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters from Winnie the Pooh except Eeyore, Kanga, and Roo.
Why not Kanga and Roo?
Because that Roo is a little baby and we don't have any kind of backstory. But certainly Piglet, certainly Winnie the Pooh, certainly Christopher Robin, especially Tigger, who loves to bounce on things. Mr. Toad.
And Eeyore.
Eeyore's not gay.
Eeyore's
too depressed to think about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride from Wind of the Willows.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Toad, definitely.
He suffers from...
Shut up.
You know, some debilitating diseases. You can come fill in the blanks. Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast.
He's obviously gay.
Flaming. Iago the Parrot from Aladdin. Now, Amanda, you were saying that somebody was going to get upset by
that. Yeah, Gilbert might not like that.
Gilbert Godfrey, the voice?
Yeah, he might not like
it. More work. Why wouldn't he even like that?
Emily Elizabeth. Like gay parrots.
Emily Elizabeth from Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh,
she's a little lesbian.
Dykes love their big dogs.
Yes.
Huskies though. It's not a husky. Lesbians like huskies.
Bert and Uncle Albert the Chimney Sweet. Bert the Chimney Sweet and Uncle Albert from Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
Gay. And the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones.
Gazoo.
But then that was an alien. How do you know he didn't come from like a sexless planet or something?
Because
they're outing him as gay.
You nincompoop Amanda Steinstein. Don't you realize that all aliens are gay?
yeah.
So some people, one guy on the internet's thinking that JK outed Dumbledore is like kind of like a bit of a smokescreen because she's actually suing this village in India. Because they built a Hogwarts castle as part of their religious festival.
Perfectly reasonable. You don't want people just building Hogwarts all over the world. You can't let that happen.
As part of their religious festival, they built a Western work of fiction castle.
You know them Indians. They got so many freaking gods, they even can't keep track.
Now Harry Potter's a new god.
But he is a god now.
So Rowling and her publishers are seeking 2 million rupees, which is about $50,000.
Oh, because it's about 18 cents, isn't it?
No. It's $50,000.
Oh, my God.
So from the organizers who built the elaborate Hogwarts castle. And the people are saying that Who wants to do Indian? I can do Indian.
Oh, let me see.
What we are building is not a violation of Copyright Act anywhere in the world because it's a religious festival and has nothing to do with money making. So they're saying they're not making money off it.
It doesn't matter that they're not making money off it. You can't build it.
So the suit they sent to them is 394 pages long, so they wouldn't build this castle.
Wow, so it was like a book.
It's like a book. So it's like
Harry
Potter.
If she wrote it, I'll buy it. If she wrote it, I'll buy it.
So that's one that's not going to be published.
And then the lawyer flew out of the clouds and on a dragon.
Now, Amanda, why should J.K. Rowling? She's rolling in the river.
She's rolling down the river. She's rolling in money.
Why should she sue somebody in a third world country, which
it's
is
a second
India?
World
second
country,
world country. Used to be third world. Now it's second.
Is it third? Second.
It was because second until it was third until yeah the internet and customer service.
Right.
So thanks
telephony
to
telephony saved India.
So thanks to telephony, now India is a second world economy. Mm-hmm. Why should they be sued?
Well, you can't
give a good argument.
If you own something as huge as Harry Potter and everything that goes with it, you got to protect it. So even if they aren't making money, not suing them, allowing them to do that is going to open the door for anybody in the world to build their own Hogwarts. Like I could say, you know, let's say I have $10 million and I'm going to build a Hogwarts and charge people to go into it. And, you know, oh, well, there's a precedent. You let them do it. You didn't let the Indians. You let the Indians do it. So why can't I do mine?
Well, what if, like, Disney World started a ride called Amanda Steinstein's Wild Ride?
Well, first of all, I'd like to see that ride.
I'd like to see that ride.
Second of all, I'd have to go down there and say, I don't think so, Mouse, and it'd stop them. And well, I'd have every right to do so.
Well, see, the thing is that this show's released under Creative Commons, which means you can create derivative works, but you gotta share the money.
Mm-hmm. And the credit.
And the credit.
Oh, so I could go down there and just tell them to pay you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or,
pay you.
Or me.
Pay you for using your persona, your purpleness.
Did you just call me a crackhead?
Or character.
Ah, okay. Mm.
Well, you're not really a character. You're more of a persona. A persona. That's a fancy word for, you know,
so
crazy.
What would the Amanda Steinstein ride be like?
Yeah, what is that going to be like?
Well, it'd be purple.
It's a big purple ride.
Lots of water splashing.
Underwater. Yeah, uh-huh. Let's see. Well,
the very short lines because it's not very popular.
Hey!
You don't even need a speed pass. You just
go
right
through. You just go right on in, honey. You could do that 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure it would be
the
fun,
lines
though.
Would be... Around the block.
Be around the freaking corner. They go out of it and
shut
Space
down
Mountain
the
and back.
It makes Space Mountain look like a trip to the 7-Eleven.
Mm.
That would be so fat. So what would happen there?
Well,
is,
it would be like Space Mountain. It would be like a ride, like a scary, thrilly ride like that. And it would be underwater. And let's see.
There'd be lots
sharks.
Of glitter exploding in
lots
your face.
Lots of glitter explosions.
Ooh.
And
sequins. Like a show last night.
Yeah. And it would be about 17 hours long.
Like your show last night.
So you get sick. And
like your show last night.
You just want to tell me something about my show last night?
So Amanda had a show last night, and it was, what was it, Space Burlesque?
It was called
Wind of the Willows.
It was called the Forbidden Planet Cosmic Cabaret. Look that up on MySpace.
And did you guys pay royalties to the Forbidden Planet movie? Yeah.
No, we figured they can come after us if they wanted.
Titles, I don't think, are copyright. There's something special
really?
About Yeah, it's hard. There's
so we could call this podcast a Hard Day's Night podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we could. Probably could.
Absolutely, yeah.
We could call it Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band Podcast.
Possibly.
Except that always it's also a movie title.
Could
now,
we call it The Beatles Podcast?
But like movies often have the same title. They don't have to pay them for the same title.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to rename this podcast the Yoko Ono Cast.
She might have her name copywritten.
Yeah,
though.
That's seriously.
Really?
Like,
that's so it might be an element within there or something like that.
I think names you can own. You can own
your
name.
But like book names, movie names and stuff like that, they are off. And repeat it.
So why aren't they like the Harry Potter podcast called the Harry Potter podcast?
Because it'd be boring. Mugglecast is so much more fascinating.
That's true. Mm. And so enlightening of all this game. But, well, anyways, but so you had a show last night.
Yeah.
And it was fun and it was...
I thought so.
And what tell the listeners about it.
Well, I've been co-hosting a variety show that has a science fiction / space / geek theme, which of course is something I'm highly suited to. And
you're kind of like the queen. queen bee?
I co-hosted, actually. Co-host. It was created by the other host. Mm-hmm. Her real name is Megan. She runs the Belmont Burlesque. Mm. And for this show, she goes by the name Ozmandia Zoom.
Ozmandia, what does that mean? That means something, doesn't it?
No, not to me, but
it's just it sounds name. Familiar. It's a freaky name. So she's Ozmandia Zoom, and I'm Threlina Roswell. And because I'm a third generation clone, so to identify me as such, I have a three at the front of my name.
And you're dumb because
I'm
clones
not dumb,
are dumb.
I'm just a bad copy of a bad copy of a bad copy.
But they said that you were like a little like not as shiny or something. Like I'm it's like
little,
when you put your butt
you
on
a
photocopy
dull
machine.
If you copy something a few times, like if you Xerox a fax a few times, it comes out.
Do
pretty,
you think that happens with clones? Do you think?
I don't know, but that's the
have
theory
they made a clone of a clone of a clone yet?
I don't know. However, I didn't invent that concept. Right. I got that out of Neuromancer, William Gibson. Mm-hmm. He has a character named 3Jane, who's a little bit insane.
And they did that on The Simpsons, too, where they cloned
right,
people.
Right, he makes the clone. Yeah, that's, I mean,
and one of them comes out the Family Guy.
Yeah. I love that.
That was before Family Guy started getting good, though, so you gotta give
him credit. Yeah, yeah, gotta give him credit where credit is due. And so you at the end of the show, you have a big, giant balloon filled with glitter and exploded in the audience's face.
And it took everyone by surprise.
Yeah, and we're all like, my eyes!
Nobody got hurt, nobody sued that we know of, and we cleaned it up and life is good. But it looked awesome, didn't it? Come on.
It was like you took a bomb and exploded in my face.
So explain.
Beautiful fire.
Dad, you
flames,
were in the second row, you saw it. What did you think?
It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous.
You were working
tell me
the
about,
booth.
Let's do a little how-to. How did you make it?
Well, we got a balloon, we filled it with glitter, and we popped it. What's the news?
Well, how do you fill a balloon with glitter?
And how much glitter did you have to use? What kind of balloon did you use?
Well, okay, we had, like, imagine a Coke can full of glitter.
Okay.
We used about three quarters of it, plus another little bag of larger glitter. Mm. And the way we do it, I mean, the balloon, I mean, you saw it was like 3 feet wide. So when it's unblown up, it looks like you know those punching bags you blow them up?
Yeah.
It looks like that. It's a huge balloon. So there's plenty of room to fit in lots and lots of glitter, and then you just blow it up. And I mean, with a pump, you don't blow it up by hand and you get glitter in your mouth, and that sucks.
Ooh.
And we just boom.
Yeah, so now I have
awesome
glitter everywhere. It's
yes,
all over
you
my shirts,
do
all over my pants. It's probably
it
in
was
my
inside
bed
my shoes. When we went to the gym today, I took my shoe off and there was glitter inside the shoe.
Yes.
And I was like, God damn it.
And you'll always remember that show.
You know, the thing, one advice for people who are putting glitter into balloons, mm-hmm, don't use the sharp glitter that will hurt your eyes if it pops into your face. They actually sell
round glitter.
Well, they sell glitter that's like that when you throw it into the air, it floats down. It glitter.
It's gliding glitter.
It's gliding glitter. Yeah, it's larger pieces, and what it is actually mylar that's been cut into smaller pieces.
Yeah, we saw some of that, but it was no fun.
That is really great because when it explodes, instead of landing down on the ground,
it's like confetti. It's like shiny confetti.
It is shiny confetti. Yeah,
we thought about that, but we
should
decided
have put little
to
tacks in there too, or something.
Well,
really,
you know, we actually had little, you know, the little
needles, pins.
No, the little glitters that you can get, like you put in an envelope. Somebody opens an envelope full of glitter. Mm-hmm. The little round ones that cut. I found some in the shape of little stars.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized it would be very bad to put stars in there. It would pop the balloon from the inside because they're like points. You
otherwise,
know?
It'd be like those Chinese death stars that people throw at people.
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
What I don't understand is like, why does a glitter go in every direction when you pop the balloon? Is the air pressure suddenly being released?
Yeah, when the air suddenly goes, I don't know. It's just a freaking balloon.
You have to say,
Myron,
what do I
what's
look
the
like
science behind
yeah
this?
Yeah, Myron's a scientist.
Yeah, right. Dad's an artist.
An astrophysicist.
Yeah.
Dumbledore, tell us.
It exploded because of the pressure of the air that we blew into it. Tremendous pressure, not like the outside world, it's like the inside of the balloon. And so it was a fabulous explosion.
Not buying it.
Like a bomb. It was like a bomb because the air pressure was greater inside the balloon than it was out.
No, the air pressure isn't greater because.
Well, did it float or did it sink?
No, that has nothing to do with it.
The air is trying to get out.
It's not that the pressure in there was greater. It's that the skin of the balloon was under pressure, not the air inside the balloon. So when you release the pressure on the skin of the balloon and it's
Saca la presión!
Steamworks. Steamworks is a fabulous place to go hang out, relax, have fun.
Mm-hmm. Open 24 hours a day.
They steamworksonline.com, type in the Feast of Fools code. That's a free ad for Steamworks. We like you so much. Salute to Steamworks and people everywhere who release the pressure, one way or another.
That's exactly how it works. It's just like that. Well, but with a balloon and glitter.
Oh, it definitely was fun.
You are like a balloon in glitter, just dangerous but happy and beautiful.
Oh, thank you, I guess.
And when you open up your shoe, you'll find her.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll be
a little
there.
Bit of Amanda Steinstein everywhere. You cannot get rid of her. It's like a stain.
Hey.
No matter, but it's a happy stain. It's a glittery
stain. It's a happy little purple glittery stain. That's me.
So you had fun hosting the show. You were wonderful at it last night, and I loved your costume.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't like your wig, though.
I like that wig. It just needed a little more fluff.
You need a bigger wig.
No, that's the point.
I got wigs downstairs.
I don't need a bigger wig. The point is that Ozymandias, she's got a huge, puffy, anime-looking wig, and I've got a very straight, plain-looking wig. I'm the plain sister.
Mm. I think she's trying to ugly you up to make herself look more beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's a rivalry happening.
I have no problem with that. That's part of the character, is that I'm not the pretty sister.
You know,
I'm
though,
the stupid sister.
It's okay to have two attractive hostesses.
Yes.
What? It's really nice. And because the straight guys in the audiences, I could see them popping boners for both of you.
Oh, fabulous.
You
thanks
might
for
get
sharing.
A date.
There was a straight guy in the audience?
Yes,
I think
it
there was.
And
yes.
He was surrounded. Well, he was dating
an
Asian woman.
He
was
making out with a dude, though.
He was dating an Asian woman. And as we know,
it's the last stop on the hetero train to
that's
homosexuality.
Right.
Oh, really? Asian
though.
Women?
Yes.
Oh, that explains a lot. I see a lot
it's
of that.
Asian
on
women, and then the next stop is gay.
Well, no. Usually, it's Amanda Steinstein in the next stop is gay.
Really, you've gone out with
how
guys?
How many guys have you turned?
Oh, like 12.
Really?
No, like 3.
Really?
Honest to God, like 3. Yeah.
And how did that experience? How did that work out? Did
you get checked? It worked out great. I'm not scarred at all.
Is that bitter?
No.
Now, did you get like a hormone check or anything like that? Did they? You know,
wait, I'm trying to understand here.
Did you poison
so you went
somehow?
Out to date with these guys.
Yeah, and then they turned gay.
And you broke up, and then they turned out gay, or what?
It was more like, you know, like I went on a date or two, and then like a year later, hey, by the way, I came out. Oh, great, thank you.
And did you knew, right? Or
no,
you didn't
of course
know?
I didn't. Well, I know now. That
you're
any
like,
guy
no wonder
I
we didn't have
from,
any sex.
Well, that's like, no, I didn't like seriously date any guy who turned out to be gay, but I would go out with a guy, and then like, oh yeah, it turned out he's gay, so.
Now, Amanda's father here, Sheldon.
Myron.
I was going to call you Sheldon. I'm so sorry.
Who the hell is Sheldon?
Just pick any Jewish name, Fausto. Myron. Whatever.
Myron. Yes. Myron, if Amanda came out and said, Dad, I'm a lesbian, or I'm a transgendered dude, what
I
would you say?
I would know if she were transgendered.
Well, maybe the mother was covering up the secret, you know.
Well, I'll tell you. I would love her just as much.
See?
I would support her just as much.
See?
But if she was transgender, I wouldn't pay for the operation.
You wouldn't?
No.
Oh,
no,
Dad. You know I can't afford that by myself. Wait a minute. I don't want an operation. Why are you doing this to me?
Well, finalize the process. But she feels like... A lot of transgender people feel like that being the wrong sex is sort of like having a cleft palate. It's something that they feel so uncomfortable about that they have to get the surgery on so they can feel whole and normal as a person.
I understand perfectly, but that is not my daughter.
See?
That you're talking
told
about.
You, I'm a girl. I keep telling
but,
you.
But if you had a son or a daughter who had that, you know, as a father, would you pay for that?
Oh, if she begged, I suppose I would pay for it.
All right.
You know, Dad, not having a condo is a lot like a cleft palate.
Look, Bubala, I give you money every year.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Come on. It's
yeah,
being,
he's good.
Now, do you guys celebrate
down payment.
As good Western Jews, do you guys celebrate Christmas?
Yeah. We did Christmas all when I was growing up. Yeah.
Yes, we had
a Christmas
a beautiful
tree.
Blue tree.
Yeah, we had a beautiful bubble.
Star of David, David on the top.
Star of David on the top.
Really? You guys had a star? You know, I always love blue Christmas trees.
Me too.
We should
you
get
know?
One.
I love that. But, you know, my favorite color for Christmas is red.
Oh.
You know, I got a friend in New York who says he knows who the people in New York who are in charge of the colors for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's like apparently there's some style council, not the band, but some style group that decides what this year's Christmas colors are going to be.
Right.
And every year I call him, hey, Matt, what are the colors this year? And he's like, burgundy and off peach. I'm like, okay, I'll go do my Christmas shopping now.
Really? And what
Why
are the colors this year?
I'm just, because he knows, and I think it's funny that he knows. And
did
I
you ask him already?
Oh, it's early. Yeah, they don't know
it's
yet.
It's too early?
It's too early, yeah.
So after Halloween, that's set?
Yeah.
So basically, so
the decorations for what, the whole city?
Well, just the way to show that you have the all correct Christmas decorations doesn't have the right colors, and apparently there's these people who decide what the right colors are.
Well, I can vouch for that. I used to know one of the guys who decided on the colors.
No way.
Yeah, he's a very famous weaver and manufacturer.
Real?
Absolutely.
Oh, and he was Jewish.
No.
Can Jews decide what colors are going to be?
It's always the same with them. It's blue and white, right?
It's
going
to be blue and white if we decide, yeah.
No, but I'm saying it's like if
blue and white.
On those councils, designers, do they take in consideration, in New York City, a person's religious background?
No, this is actually every manufactured thing, like sheets and towels and colors of upholstery, everything. And they sit down with all these swatches and they...
Swatches? There's black guys?
Swatches,
like the Swiss watches,
and that's just Yiddish. That's just
Swatches, right?
So, and then they actually decide, and they decide on the names. Whose names these paint colors, for instance?
Well, yeah, like burnt umber, which is my favorite crayon, and
I think it's just somebody who knows a lot about colors and is trying to sell the hues of paint to get people to, because when a lot of people go to paint stores, they look at paints and they go, oh, this is brown, this is green, this is yellow. But when the paint connotes a sort of image or creates
like
ties to emotion.
Like feces brown.
Mustard yellow.
For example, like a lot of people want to feel like that live in Chicago have some sort of romantic idealized notions of Massachusetts and Cape Cod and all that stuff. So if you go to the paint shop, they're going to actually sell you hues of paint like Cape Cod blue or Nantucket green.
You know, I do not understand. I look at those paint swatches, and I'm a painter, for Christ's sake. Yeah. I look at these paint swatches like 900 shades of blue. I've actually had people like, well, we're going to use this one on the kitchen, and then we're going to use this one on the counters, and it's in the cabinets. And I'm like, and they show me like 18 shades of blue. I'm like, this is blue. Why not just paint it blue?
Well, like,
I don't,
for example, you know, my official color, people ask me, what is the blue? I say, it's royal blue, but it's a hue, it's a little bit more turquoise than blue, royal blue.
But you're not saying like, oh, well, it's Faustina blue. You didn't make up a name for it.
I do say Feast of Fools blue, but you know, to be clear. But
your hair is fishbowl green.
Well, right now it's a mess, you know. Right now it's because the problem with maintaining your blue hair is that, of course, the blue kind of leaks out because it's not a natural color. And
isn't it?
It isn't. Believe it or not. So Christmas is around the corner, and Marshall Field is no more. Now it's the Sony Music Store. What is it called?
Macy's.
Downtown, and they still managed to keep those green, annoying chocolates.
But, yeah, they got Frangos back into the city. They used to be, they outsourced Frangos, which was baloney.
Are they making them at Macy's now?
They're not making them at Macy's, but they're making them in Chicago again. That's good.
And that is
Frango
just
Mints
terribly
is kind of
exciting.
Like, Frango Mints for the rest of the world, it's kind
doesn't
of like,
mean
it's well, it's fruitcake for Chicago. So every year,
itty-bitty.
People give you fruitcake, and then that one same fruitcake gets passed along to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else.
No,
here in Chicago,
no.
It's Frango Mints.
I eat
nobody
the Frangos.
Oh, you do?
I completely eat the Frangos.
That's because you're the last stop
I'm
on the Frango Mints
I'm the last stop
Mints
on the Frango
Amanda Steinstein is the last stop on the Frango Mints train.
They're little square. They're like the size of a sugar cube.
I think every box of Frango Mints we've ever gotten, we've re-gifted.
Not to me.
You know, I know people who actually make desserts with a Frango Mints.
Ooh, little mint chocolate action.
Describe what the Frango Mints are. They're like about the size of those X-Lax cubes.
They're like a sugar cube.
They're a little bit rectangular. Mm-hmm. They're sort of like AIDS, the diet candy, those chocolates.
No, they're like
the exact
dice.
Same size.
They're little dice.
They're like petty fours.
So I say, the Frango chocolate. Mints are just like AIDS. Nobody wants them.
Oh my God, you're talking about
AIDS chocolate candy.
AYDS.
AYDS.
I know, but nobody knows.
AYDS, yes. But anyways, that was on the market for what, a year?
That was on the market for a long time.
A long time.
Until about 1981.
I wonder why that went off the market.
And it disappeared.
That point.
I used to go into Walgreens as a kid and giggle and point at the AIDS chocolate candy.
I mean, that actually.
That's why they stopped doing it.
That lasted actually well into the 80s, like 83.
Yeah, that's
84.
The insensitivity of the people who manufacture dietary.
With a Y, it's a whole other thing.
It's a great way to lose weight.
AIDS. How'd you lose all that weight? AIDS?
they used to have the commercials on television next to the Chia Pets and the Pocket mm-hmm. Fisherman and all that stuff. Little trip back in time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, our salute to all the people. So World of Chocolate is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going, right?
Are you coming?
Am I invited? Oh, please,
well,
oh, please,
I might
please,
be able
oh,
to
please,
swing
oh,
you
please,
a
oh,
pass.
Oh, my God, I have to go there. Come on, come on, please.
And
oh,
so
please.
World of Chocolate.
I want to approve your wardrobe, though, before you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, we gotta tart you up.
What? Come on, I had a perfectly nice purple velvet dress last time.
And unlike the diet chocolate candy, this is for AIDS and HIV, and it does put on the pounds, so you got to watch what you eat at mm-hmm. this event.
I'm going to stop eating tomorrow so I can
save up.
Show up.
But you still have chocolate left over from last year, don't you? That 10-pound bar.
I got a couple inches left from
you
that.
You can't go into the World of Chocolate until you finish eating last year's chocolate.
Oh, Fausto, mm-hmm. come on.
I thought you were going to put that in a giant chocolate fountain and get rid of it.
Yeah, you know what? I found out it doesn't work that well for that.
No?
No,
you know
have
why?
To
you
add
have to
a
add
bunch
oil.
Of oil. And I'm like,
isn't that gross?
Ruin
I know.
Perfectly
and you can
chocolate.
Buy those little chocolate fountains now at like Target and other
I
places
know,
now. They're everywhere
I know.
Now.
But
you know what? Don't you know what? They make a goddamn mess.
Yeah, they
don't
do.
Have one in your house and have a party.
No,
and expect
I ended
it to
up getting
clean.
a little tiny chocolate fondue thing.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's
that's
great.
Better.
So we're gonna be bringing video cameras because every time we cover it, it's like we're always describing what you see. So this year we're actually bringing video cameras, and Amanda Steinstein, myself, and Mark Felian are going mm-hmm. to be recording live from, well, not live.
We're going to interview people, and you can mm-hmm. see
we're gonna
them.
We're
going to
show you
the
goods.
Right.
We're gonna, basically, it's a documentary of Amanda Steinstein eating food.
Yes.
Eating
it'll
my way through
fest.
The festival of...
mm-hmm.
And oh, so last year they had what was it? They had like an Empire State Building made out of chocolate bars, mm-hmm. and they had to like take some of the ceiling tiles out to fit it all the way in there, like some of the drop ceiling tiles. You can get some video of me just eating my way through that thing.
I like the picture of you licking that giant chocolate ball.
I did not lick it. I just stuck my tongue on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the
bit.
Photo of the big African American man who was covered head to toe in chocolate. And boy, you wanted to lick it off.
That was last year. That was 2 years ago.
It was two years ago.
I didn't
yeah.
see that. But we did see the white chocolate sculpture.
That was beautiful. Yes. Very
yeah.
sexy. Mm. Okay. So it's going to be Thursday, November 29th. And it's going to be at the Hilton, Chicago. The one in downtown on South Michigan Avenue. South of Balbo,
mm-hmm.
and tickets are $75 in advance. You can get them through our website, feastoffools.net, mm-hmm. and all proceeds go to AIDS Foundation of Chicago, a very, very important AIDS advocacy organization, probably one of the best ones in the world.
In the world.
It's that fabulous. No. And you can get to hang out with celebrities, mm-hmm. like real celebrities, like Kathy Brock and her son, Cody.
Mm-hmm. And other newscasters.
And yeah.
That's who celebrities are in Chicago, like Jim Pickett's out of the newscasters.
I remember we interviewed Cody, right?
Yeah.
He talked
that's
good.
His real name's
kid.
Not Cody, by the way.
Whatever. I mean,
it's called
the kid.
Cody because it's like Kathy
Gilbert.
Yeah.
But no, the kid, we talked to the kid. He was great.
Myron and Amanda, are you familiar with Twitter?
What?
With Twitter.com.
I'm afraid not.
No.
Could you tell me what it is?
Barely familiar with it.
Twitter.com is, it's they call it microblogging. And so we have one for twitter.com/feastoffools. And we put little messages on there that are updates on what we're working on, what's coming up in shows, that kind of stuff like that. So you can subscribe to it. And it's kind of like a way of like IMing people. Instant messaging, like all your friends at once.
Oh, does it send them?
And people subscribe to it.
Yeah, if they're subscribed to it, they receive it as an instant message.
And so we have a new.
That's annoying as hell. It's like instant message junk mail.
Well, some people like instant messages, others don't. So it's not everybody likes.
If I had it on my phone, that'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, that's how it is.
But when I'm like on my computer, I might be trying to work and I.
But no, you would have a Twitter open, so like all your friends would Twitter, and you'd see and be like, oh, John's going for coffee now. Now I can stalk him.
Oh, that's good to know.
But so now we started a new one, and it's right up your alley, and I want you to help inaugurate it.
Uh-oh.
So it's twitter.com/insults. So you can subscribe.
So I can insult everybody
at
once?
You can insult everybody at once.
So I can post an insult like, I can't think of one.
You
I'm
smell?
Too nice.
You smell.
And everybody will get that on the screen at once?
Yes. Everybody will
Why
get
would
it.
Why would anybody
Because some people, it's that kind of sadomasochistic relationship. They feel like they want to be insulted.
You can come up with a lot of yo mama jokes.
A lot of yo mama jokes. Lots of...
It's going to be Feast of Fools. So it's twitter.com/insults.
Myron, give us a good insult we can put up there.
Oi.
To inaugurate.
Oi.
Yeah, Dad, you get the first insult on Twitter.
Your mama's so fat.
How fat is she?
When she sits around the house, she sits around the house.
There you go.
Your mama's so fat.
How fat is she?
She bought Cheerios because she thought they were donut seeds.
I like that.
Your mom is so old.
How old is she?
When she farts, dust comes out.
Your mama's so old.
How old is she?
She thought Jurassic Park was a documentary.
Wait a minute.
Of her childhood.
So that's how do you subscribe to it, Foster? Explain to the good folks of the internet.
Twitter.com/insults. That's all you got to do.
And then there's a subscribe button, right?
There's a subscribe to it. You follow it, and you can set it up so it notifies you on the phone.
It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, you got an insult.
You're fucked.
Oh, good. I need that.
So if you ever need to insult somebody and belittle your friends, mm-hmm. and hurt your friends' feelings.
Can you sign people up without them knowing about it?
No.
Like suddenly, for no reason, the insults start showing up on their screen? That'd be awesome.
Well, if you go to somebody's, so if you can hack into somebody's Twitter account, you can sign them up for something. Mm-hmm. But it's going to, you know, show up with Feast of Fools insults.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to look forward to. And last but not least, another thing, you know, are you guys protected against STDs?
I hope so.
And by STDs, I mean screen-transmitted diseases.
Screen-transmitted diseases?
Yes, because some of you have iPhones or touchscreen devices. And, you know, some of you might notice that they get smudged and dirty. And you just can't be bothered to clean it anymore. And seriously, who has the time, right?
I blame the telephone sanitizers.
Mm.
So Phone Fingers is a new product guaranteed to get you laughed at. By
what
your
is
friends,
it?
And will only cost you $10 for a pack of 25.
What
They're
is it?
Latex black condoms for your index finger and thumb, so you can touch your iPhone or touchscreen device.
Don't be ridiculous.
I'm serious.
There's a picture.
And here's the picture, and there it is.
Well, what's wrong with just buying some latex gloves?
Well, because you only
so they're
need,
finger cots.
Yeah, they're finger cots, but they're specially made so they slide around your iPhone and your iPhone responds
will it work,
to it.
But will it work though? Because like I've noticed like with our dishwasher, when I wear this big
red glove
when I wear a glove and I go to press the start button, I have to actually remove my glove to actually touch it.
Why are you wearing a big red glove when you're
a big black glove?
Because we get into that kinky sort of thing.
Because I want to
keep laundry.
No, when I'm washing the dishwasher.
Oh, the dishwasher.
Yeah,
touch
so
Mark's
hand.
Oh, you mean like an oven glove?
They're
no,
so
just like
soft.
I'll show it to you. It's a big giant. It's a fisting glove that people wear when
they're
they get fisted.
Why are you doing your dishes and fisting at the same time? Give me that glass. Oh
no, it's what it is. It's a work glove, and because I have really really large hands, like the normal gloves don't fit. See, look how big my hand is.
Touch his hands. They're very soft.
Oh, you have big
smooth.
Hands. That's a big hand.
Amanda, touch his hands.
I touched his hands. Very big.
Feel them. Feel stroke.
I'm not feeling your husband's hands.
Yeah,
don't.
But no,
Amanda's all like freaked out. Now.
But so that it won't start, I have to take off my gloves so it feels like that human presence. I think it loves me and just wants to be touched.
Mark,
by me.
What did you say when your coworkers told you that your hands are very soft and feminine? And
nobody's ever told me that they were feminine.
Well, you said that you're very soft and feminine.
I have very soft skin all over them.
But you said I have to take care of them.
Squish.
Because what?
They're my vagina.
I think I did say that, didn't I?
And that is the Feast of Fools.
I forgot about that one.
That's a chestnut.
That's a chestnut. You know?
That is a chestnut.
And you know what is a chestnut? Is lovely, lovely fathers like Myron and Amanda Steinstein.
Mm. I'm not a father.
Well, daughter. Oh, mother, fathers and daughters.
Fathers and daughters.
Yeah, my mom was here a few weeks ago, so my dad was like, I want to be on the show. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, so you guys have a rivalry because you're divorced, right?
Of course, for about 25, 30 years.
At least. Yeah. Longer than that.
Yeah, it could be longer.
Longer than you were married, right?
Way, like three times longer than they were married. They've been divorced. And it's much better this way. So much better this way.
I love her. I still love her. She loves me.
They're friends.
So
well, they live like one town away. Like, they still hang out. You know, they go to lunch and stuff, but they're not like, you know, dating or anything.
That's, you know, that's probably wise.
It's better than my parents' relationship.
Why?
Because my dad's dead.
And on that note...
We want to thank you so much for listening to the Feast of Fools podcast. We depend on your financial support to pay for the production costs of the show. So go to feastoffools.net and click on the green dollar sign and support by sending us the money or get yourself...
Buy a t-shirt. We have some beautifully, digitally delicious 100% combed cotton t-shirts available on our website, feastoffools.net. You will look fabulous in this shirt, so please buy one.
Or just send us money for no reason at all.
We sent you, if you can send checks in the mail, too, if you want.
But make it out to my name, Fausto Furnos, because we, yet of this time, the, you know, the bank wanted me to put down like $300 for a Feast of Fools account.
I know.
And I was like,
do you have a DBA?
I'm poor.
I do, but I don't have a bank account for it.
Well, you know what? Go to, I'll talk. We'll talk. I'll send you to my bank. You need like nothing. I swear, they're like, you got a button?
I know.
You got a pin?
Well,
or
they wanted you to put down money and then hold it for a month, and then they'll give you the money back.
Well, that's not very useful.
And I said to the hot guy who was helping me, I said,
it was hot, so.
Screw you. And here's my number.
And that worked great.
It didn't, but, you know. So we really do depend on your financial contributions. And, you know, what a better way to say you love by getting a Feast of Fools t-shirt.
Nothing says we love you like money.
That's right. Or if you can't, you know, if you're a modest means, telling your friends about it. If you work for the media, write about the Feast of Fools. If you're a blogger, write about our show. We depend on your comments on the website or on other places to continue, because your comments enrich the process. They complete the circle.
Here's one. Tell a straight friend about Feast of Fools.
A straight friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, if Dumbledore is gay, why, you should tell a friend that's straight to listen to the show.
I think we need more straight listeners. I love our gay listeners, but I love the straight listeners because that's some true open-mindedness. Right, Dad? My dad's a straight listener.
That's true.
Absolutely.
You know, 25% of our audience is actually identifies as heterosexual.
Identifies. That means that dating Asian women.
We got to do another poll.
We should do that. So anyways, thank you so much for listening, and thanks Amanda and Myron, her dad Myron, for coming on the show. So do you guys want to, like, give some insults to the audience? For...
Let's just say goodbye.
Yeah, we'll just figure out some
later.
Insults
later. We'll see you later.
I'll put them
up on Twitter.
So twitter.com/insults or /feastoffools. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
By one simple kiss. Sing.